started playing in Glendale, which is right up the road here, about 4 or 5 miles. And they had a, back during the war, they had a team, a couple of manufacturing company. I missed baseball at that time. So I wanted to be home too. I had a family. I had 3 kids. I just felt like it was time to do something else. Then I didn't really make a big mistake. I might have been, maybe I could have played another year or two. I'm not sure. Just hanging on to play, just not, I just didn't want to do that. I couldn't be real active and be a starter or something. I just didn't want to hang on. But with the money they're making nowadays, maybe if I'd hung on another 2 or 3 years, well, it would have been great. It sure has. It really has. I signed out of Auburn in 48, went to Scranton, Pennsylvania, which is the Red Sox farm club. I played at Scranton, and then the next year they sent me to Louisville, which was AAA. And I was 0-3 up there after the first 3 starts, so they felt like probably it brought me in too fast. So they sent me back down to Birmingham, which was AA. And I stayed there and had a real good year at Birmingham. And the next year I went back to Louisville. Stayed there for, I guess, a month, maybe 2 months. And I think I was 11-2. I had 11 wins, 2 losses, so they brought me right back up to the Red Sox. Yeah. And then I stayed with them until 1958, the spring of 1958. And it was really enjoyable, I guess. I just wish that I had been a better pitcher. But I gave it my best. And back in those days, it was tough. It was really tough. And I'm sure it is now for these people. But back then, somebody was down minor league ready to take your job. They have a lot of ball players, a lot of minor league ball players. If you couldn't do it, well, somebody was going to come up and get your job. On the minor league teams, back in those days,
did they all follow their friends' contract?
Well, several of them did. We had Gordon Mueller, I remember, and he was a pitcher. And Jim McDonald was a pitcher. He pitched, came up and pitched with Red Sox, and then was with several other teams in the major. Major League, we had Jim Davis and Gordon Mueller. Jim Pearsall was there. Of course, he wasn't a pitcher, but the Red Sox had a good organization back in those days. And most everybody that had an opportunity came to the Red Sox, but of course, they were traded off someplace else. It was something else. We had a real good ball club at Scranton. We had a good ball club at Louisville, which was Triple A. Had a guy named Mike Palm who was a real good ball player, good pitcher. Mike Palm, maybe he had a shot at the major league. I'm not sure, but he was a good minor league pitcher. Hamp Coleman. A lot of good balls. Jim Davis came up. He was a left-handed pitcher. He stayed there around for a while. I'm not sure how long. Well, in the minor league, we had the we had some old players that were coming down. We had some players that had been playing in the minor leagues for several years. They were just not going anywhere, but they were playing in the minor league. And then we had some young, strong, wild pitchers that were just coming in, like myself. We had a big variety there, but the older guys were, I guess we more or less look to them for guidance back in those days, more so than our coaches or our managers. But then our coaches and managers were there to help us. But these older guys that had been, they'd been up and came down, they would give you a lot of input, you know, what and how it is up big top. And then spring training, we'd go to spring training with the big club. And we did this for 2 or 3 years. And when you did come up, you weren't real, you knew these guys that you were playing with. It helped a lot. And you get a lot of experience in spring training with the ball club, the major league ball club. Say, fewer of them are moving down. Well, I don't know where they're getting all the ball players they're getting now. What, 28 teams now? Back when I played, we had 16, 8 in each league. Now they have something like 28. I understand they're going to expand some more. And going back in those days, somebody was looking for your job, and you had less chance of being there for any length of time back in those days than you do now, because all the different number of ball players that they have now with 25 players with 28 teams. That's an awful lot of ball players. But I've never had anybody on our ball club or anybody that I played with that did not try to help me get to the major league. Everybody would help me. They just really good for me. Mace Brown, he pitched for the Red Sox back in the late 30s, maybe early 40s, I'm not real sure, but he had pitched for someplace else too. But Mace Brown, he had just had been sent down, or had not been sent down, he just had retired, and they made him a scout. And I was the first one, I believe I was the first one he signed. And I was down at Auburn, deep down in the first year I was there. Second year, where I got more serious about it, and I was not a good student, and I wanted to play ball, and he flew me up to the Red Sox, But anyway, Dick Littlefield came up from Birmingham. He was a left-handed pitcher. I came up from Louisville. I think 11-2 at this time in July, about the first July. And I came up to Red Sox. Littlefield came from Birmingham. And we joined the Yankees we joined the Red Sox in New York. Called up to Steve O'Neill, who was the manager this time for the Red Sox. Steve had just, he had been there just maybe a couple of weeks, I'm not sure. But then, anyway, so he called Littlefield himself up to the up to his room at the Commodore Hotel. And he asked Littlefield when he had pitched. And Littlefield said he had pitched about 4 days ago. And he asked me when I pitched. And I pitched about 3 days ago, which I had. And he said, so Dick, you're starting tonight. And this was Friday night in Yankee Stadium. So I was scared to death. I'm sure Dick was. He told me, he said, you go down to the bullpen when they need you. And so we started the game that night in Yankee Stadium. And I've never seen as many people in all my life in Yankee Stadium. 65 hours. But Dick pitched a real good ball game for 7 innings. He made 4-2 or something. He had given them maybe 4 runs, but he pitched a real good ball game. So in the seventh inning, they sent word down that I was coming in to pitch the seventh and eighth inning. The ninth, it was ninth. I came in the seventh inning, and Ted Williams, a little old fist out there, he walked all the way into the infield. I mean, he's just telling me that don't be scared, don't do this, don't do that. So these people getting their britches just like you do, and so on and so forth. And I appreciated that, and I've often mentioned that to Ted, that I really appreciated it. But I went in, I think they got one run off me, 2 innings. We lost the ball game 5-2. And that was my first experience with Yankee Stadium. Yankee ball club. I was scared to death, no doubt about it. Littlefield, he did a real good job. But, we went on, and it got a little better. Really, it takes you a while to get accustomed to those guys and being able to realize that you're a major league ball player like they are, that they aren't superhuman, that they're just average people. Some of them have a whole lot more ability than others. Was Tropo there that year? Yeah, I guess he was. Tropo and Bertie Tebbets was there. He was catching. Bruce Williams, Dominic DiMaggio, Stan Spence was there. Bobby Doerr, Johnny Pesky, Vern Stevens. And pitching, we had Dobson. Dobson was just he was here this last week. He spent the night with him last week on his way to Nashville. And, we had McDermott. Wendy McCall was there. Billy Goodwin. Buddy Rosar. I guess after a year or so, they made that big deal with Detroit where we got Lippon, George Kale, the Beavers, or they gave up, the Red Sox gave up old Bill White, left-handed pitcher, and Johnny Pesky, Bernie Stevens, I believe. Made a big deal out of it. A few months after I got there, we got this big deal with Detroit. We got the Beavers. all this up just to be there, to be exposed, I guess, to what was going on. And the night, on Sunday night, we would be married on Tuesday, I believe that's it. We would be married on Tuesday, but I had thought that after the season at Scranton, I'd be going home, you know, they call us the Red Sox. And on the Sunday night, the Red Sox tied it up with Cleveland. And then they had that one-day playoff on Monday. And I had to go in and ask McCarthy. McCarthy was the manager of the Red Sox. I told him my story, but I wasn't eligible to play. And he said, son, go on home. He said, you need to be home. He said, we got this game tomorrow, you go on home. And I got to fly out of Boston that Sunday night, and I was going to be married on Tuesday. And that was the day that I believe Gene Bearden pitched for the Indians, and they won that, got in the World Series. But I was scared to death going and asking McCarthy if I could go home, even though I wasn't eligible to play. He was just as nice as could be. He said, son, you go home. You need to get married. Be ready for next year. Well, I couldn't tell you who probably was the best manager. The best guy I ever played for was Pinky Higgins, which I played for Pinky for 2 or 3 years. I played with Boudreaux for a few years, maybe 2 or 3. But in my opinion right now, if I had to pick out the manager that I played for that was probably the smartest, would be Gene Mock. I played with Gene Mock as a player and as a minor leaguer back in Minneapolis when I went down what, 59 inches, I guess, yeah, 59. I think Gene Mock was one of the probably the smartest baseball people I've ever been around. Gene was a good guy. Well, he had a pretty good look as a manager later on, didn't he? Well, I think he's smart as I'm not saying the others were dumb or anything of this sort. I'm just saying I think he used his mentality to better use maybe or something. He was always trying something new. Boudreaux had a knack of bringing out things that never happened before, you know, like the shift, wheel shift, things of this sort. But Mock, day in and day out, and he taught baseball to him. Made sense. I think Gene Mock probably was the smartest manager in the United States. No. I didn't have any warning at all. It's the first time I'd ever seen Yankee Stadium, of course. They didn't have to. You get experience mighty quick up there. But it was an experience. 65,000 people. But I was a little wild. I remember knocking Rizzuto down. Of course, I didn't throw to knock him down, but I threw close to him. And the bat went one way and the hat went the other. I was just scared. I could throw hard, but I was scared. The best pitch when I went up was fastball. And I threw a knuckle curve. And of course, some of the smart coaches and whatnot said, you can't pitch up here with your knuckle curve. They'll see it. And so then I started trying to throw a regular curveball. For 2 or 3 years, I didn't have anything really to pitch with except my fastball. So I came up with a slider. And when Pinky Higgins came up, 53 or 54, I'm not sure, I knew it was 54 already. But I had played for him in 49. He said, what happened to your knuckle curve? I said, they wouldn't let me throw it. And he said, well, you go back to throwing that thing. That was a good curveball. And so I went back to throwing my knuckle curve, and I had 3 or 4 pretty good years. I had I had a lot of luck with the Yankees. One time I think I was maybe 10 and 2 or something against the Yankees. And, that was when they were really good. They won, I guess, every year, except for 54, 55, Cleveland. You know, that year at Cleveland, I was 4 and 0 against the Yankees that year. Won 4. Boudreaux would pitch me in the Yankee Stadium, but he wouldn't pitch me at Fenway Park. Now, he pitched me at Fenway Park, he wouldn't pitch me at Yankee Stadium the way it was. He thought left-handers had the best advantage at Yankee Stadium. But I was 4-0 against the Yankees, and I was 0-6 against Cleveland the year they won the field. And my goodness, I pitched better ball against Cleveland than the Yankees. I couldn't win against those guys for anything in the world. I had them beat there, and I remember one game that just I'll never forget. It's Fenway Park, bottom of the ninth inning. We had them beat 2-3. And last man up had two outs, and Bobby Avila hit a pop fly home run there against the wall Fenway Park, and we finally won, lost the ball game, something like 43 or something, 12, 13 innings. I just that year, I just couldn't beat the Indians. It pitched real good ball against them. Well, Yogi was tough. Al Rosen was tough for me. He was right-handed hitter. He was tough. Nellie Fox was tough. And I can't remember. I know those three, but they were all tough. I'm not saying I could get any of them out. But I had pretty good luck against Mount. I think he hit 3 home runs off of him 5 or 6 years ago. And he made the statement, I understand, that one year I was tough as hitter. Face. I didn't hear him say that, but he came back to me and he did say that. But I had good luck against the Yankees there for a streak of maybe 3 or 4 years. But I was a pretty good hitter. I was a left-handed hitter, and I know one year when Boudreaux was in Boston, he had me, when I was pitching, I was hitting in seventh place. When McDermott was pitching, he was hitting in seventh place. When Parnell was pitching, he was hitting in seventh place. And we had, I think, Don Budden and Gus Nyhaus were hitting in eighth and ninth. And they didn't like that a bit. I did a good bit of pinch hitting. So did McDermott. McDermott was better hitting than the three of us. McDermott might have been a better ball player had he not been a pitcher. He was a good left-handed pitcher, but they didn't have good control. He should have had good control. But that was a good experience. I don't know how long, maybe a month or so, we hit the seventh place. Well, the Red Sox, Bobby Doyle was a good hitter. Johnny Pesky was a good hitter. He was the type of hitter that was giving me a lot of trouble because he was a little, we call him Punch and Judy hitter. But Williams, I wouldn't want to pitch to Williams. There's just no way. Well, of course, bat practice, you throw the ball. You don't try to, finesse anybody. You throw the ball and, not too much, but we knew pretty much. Batting practice is a matter of time. You don't try to get them out. You throw the ball just in inside. Like, I'd throw the try to throw the ball inside to Williams, and just good speed on it. Well, that's what he wanted. Boom, you know, hit the ball. Sometimes we get a, and I've seen Williams do this in spring training, where the background is not good. You know, I have seen him ask the manager, get permission from the manager for maybe a couple of left-handers to give him 15 or 20 minutes apiece after the regular practice. And where the background's not good down there, you know, spring training. And they'd get out there and they'd pitch to him like it was a regular ball game. And he would get out there and hit that ball, you know. He worked at his hitting. He really worked at it. It was important. Don DeMaggio, one of the nicest guys you've ever wanted to meet. Good ball player. He was a good outfielder, a real good outfielder. And a good leadoff man, good hitter, and a real fine gentleman. He was the best. And he had a good career, but I think he was overshadowed by his brother. And he had good relations with his brother. They were real fond of each other. But he was a fine gentleman. Jim was a good ball player. Jackie was a good player. Jackie came up from Washington maybe in 55, 56, I'm not sure. But, 2 or 3 years later. When I went up there, they had Stan Spitz. He was a good ball player. Stan Spitz. Jackie was a real good ball player. No, he wouldn't fly. He wouldn't fly on that. Now, he and Buddy Rosar is a catcher. They took the train. But I think Jackie flew one. We didn't fly too much back then. St. Louis feathers place west. I believe it's right. Most of the time we had private cars. We had maybe had reserved 3 or 4 cars before they took Lost Boys ride. We'd sleep overnight, pull in the station early in the morning, stay in the sack until we got ready to get up. Park the train there. It was good, but spent a lot of nights on the railroad. But we had those two. I know that this wouldn't fly. We had a bad experience one night coming back from Washington, I believe, maybe Philadelphia, in that area, that someplace. We had the electrical storm. Close to Boston. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, somebody had a cracked rib out of it. Yeah, he got a nice ground real wet. Even Williams was sweating when he got off that. You know, he had crashed, I think, in the rear. I didn't have any problems with them. Of course, they No. But he'd laugh about it. He'd laugh about this one and that one, about what he says. Did you ever meet Williams? Tell him, if you ever get the chance, tell him that I said for him to talk to you that you're a nice guy and he needs to talk to you. Ted has mellowed an awful lot. We saw him a couple years ago, and he is a real nice guy. He really, really, truly is. You can get him at a time when he's got something on his mind or something bothering him. He wouldn't have much to do with it, but at one time, but he had two lockers. He was a privileged character. He had two lockers. He had one for his bats and one for his clothes, I think. Now, Williams was not, it's hard to describe Williams. He's the nicest guy you're going to meet. But he could be ornery at times. But the people, if you had people after you, you can't go out of the hotel without people grabbing at you. You can't eat in the dining room without people coming over with autographs, this and that. And I'm not saying he wouldn't oblige the people or do these favors for the kids and whatnot, but it's just all the time. Somebody grabbing at him all the time. Right. He liked to argue with that truck out there, you know, just to get an argument. But he was always good to me. I'm not sure, yeah. I remember he broke his arm, I guess, on the wall there in Chicago. I just don't remember, but I know he's out a half year that year with broken arm. It was maybe a year there in Korea, sometime anyway. But every time he'd come back, they'd have a big to-do in Boston and whatnot, and he would do something spectacular. He always did when he left, and when he came back, he'd do something spectacular. No, I wouldn't say Ted was a leader, but I would say that he was the most valuable man around. Being a leader, you'd think he'd be maybe a take charge guy. Now, Ted wanted to win. He wanted to win, and he was fighting himself. Do something to win. I never forget. They said he couldn't hit the left field. I was on second base one game, and I was a winning run in Boston. I was in Boston. And I don't even know who was pitching then. And they said he wouldn't do this, do that, you know, pull hitter. And he just, I could see him just the guy threw a fastball. On the outside, he just so pretty hit that ball off that wall out there, and of course I scored the winning run. He could hit the left. assure you on the outside part of the plate, be sure that you can't get good wood on it, even though you're trying. Don't throw it just to throw one, because you're wasting your strength and this and that. And that's a good piece of not somebody there. If you really want to hit somebody, I mean, not somebody there. But there's no sense in going out there and throwing one up the screen and doing this and doing that, because this ball was probably would have been a ball. It was a good pitch. It was an outstanding pitch. But he reached out and hit the ball. 90% of probably most of it was, but it all depends on the situation. Well, I don't know. I guess they feel like, well, he's got to throw three pitches. You know, now he's got to go three pitches to get him out or something. Take one if it's a certain pitch, you know. It's a fastball. A lot of guys, you know, you throw a slider or something else. They can get those problems out of it if it's a fastball. But I guess it's just an automatic thing that they say, well, this with three pitches and this with another, you know, or something. But you have to be careful. A lot of times, it all depends on the team. Four pitch. He didn't throw about seven.